Welcome to the Pneuma Church podcast. Wherever you are in the world, we are so glad you've joined us. Our prayer is that this message will reveal more of who our Heavenly Father is as we all grow deep in intimacy with Jesus. Enjoy this message.
All right. I haven't preached in such a long time, so I'm a bit nervous. I've been drinking lots of water. That's almost finished. I think I might need another one because I think I've been running out, going to the ladies a lot as well already. So I'm going to try and be myself, but God's got a message, I feel, for church this morning as well. So the title is, Who is Your Focus? Who is your focus? And today we're going to read about Jairus in Luke 8, a synagogue leader. But before we read this scripture, I just want to share a little bit of context, okay? So early in Luke 8, Jesus calms the storm. The disciples are in a fear storm. They're in fear of their life. And the disciples, Jesus calms the storm. They cross the lake to the other side, and Jesus is met by a man that is demon-possessed. Then he sets him free, casts the demons out, heals and sets him free. And then they didn't really like that in that place, so they went back on the lake, the disciples, and they crossed back to the other side. Now, we don't know exactly how much time is here, but from my understanding, my reading, my research, is that it's only a short amount of time. So I'm not going to put any like time frame on there, but it wasn't a long period of time. But you can see all the miracles God has done. So we're going to speak it. We're going to read from Luke 8, 40 to 56. I'm going to read the whole thing and then we're going to preach into it, okay? So on the other side of the lake, the crowds welcomed Jesus because they had been waiting for him. There's a message just there, but we'll keep going. Then a man named Jairus, a leader of the local synagogue, came and fell at Jesus' feet, pleading with him to come home with him. His only daughter, who was only about 12 years old, was dying. As Jesus went with him, he was surrounded by the crowds. A woman in the crowd had suffered 12 years with constant bleeding, and she could not find a cure. Coming up behind Jesus, she touched the fringe of his robe. Immediately, the bleeding stopped, and Jesus asked, "Who touched me?" Everyone denied it, and Peter said, "Master, the whole crowd is pressing against you." But Jesus said, "Someone deliberately touched me, for I felt the healing power go out from me." When the woman realized that she cannot stay hidden, she began to tremble and fell at the knees in front of him. The whole crowd heard her explain why she touched him and that she'd been immediately healed. And Jesus says, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace." While Jesus was speaking with her, a messenger arrived from the home of Jairus, the leader of the synagogue. He told him, your daughter is dead. There's no use troubling the teacher now. But when Jesus heard what had happened, he said to Jairus, "Don't be afraid. Just have faith and she will be healed." When they arrived at the house, Jesus wouldn't let anyone go into the room except Peter, John, James, the girl's parents, mother and father, and Jesus himself. The house was filled with people weeping and wailing, and he said, "Stop that weeping. She isn't dead. She's just asleep." But the crowd laughed at him because they knew that she had died. Then Jesus took her by the hand and said in a loud voice, "My child, get up." And in that moment, her life returned and she immediately stood up. And then Jesus told her, "Give her something to eat." Her parents were overwhelmed, and Jesus insisted that they do not tell anyone what had happened. A lot in this scripture, very powerful scripture. But the first point today I want to speak on is, who are you in line for? Who are you in line for? So I'm going to share a bit of a story in here as well. Last September, my family and my sister, we were in Queensland and we went to movie world. We went to most of the worlds, all the worlds, which you do when you're in Queensland. I'm at an age where I'm declining with these thrill-seeker rides. I've done that all in my teens and my 20s and my 30s. You know, I'm not in my 30s anymore. But I'm like, no, I don't know if I can do this anymore. I've done all the rides that you can think of. However, my kids are at their age that they're coming into thrill-seeking age. if they're at the right height. And it's hard, but I'm praise the Lord that Sam was with me because she did go on a lot of those rides with Jude, the Superman ride and all the rides. I did go on the Green Lantern, which was okay. It wasn't actually scary. If I can do it, then you can do it. Sam was saying, you can do this one. And I enjoyed that one. Again, I went with Jude on that one. But the ultimate ride that Jude wanted to go on was the Joker ride. The Joker ride. He was 11 at the time. He's now 12. This ride is a hypercoaster ride. Its height is 61.6 metres. The track is 1.4 kilometres. The top speed is 115 k's per hour. This is the fastest and the tallest hypercoaster in the Southern Hemisphere. That's in movie world, people. Now, at 3:30, so we've gone the whole day. You get to these worlds, you know, early, right? We've gone the whole day. He's like, I just want to do this one. Jude built enough courage up to say, yes, we're going to go on this ride. So we lined up. We lined up. Now, I was never going to go on this ride. I said to him, I'm lining up with you, but I am not going on this ride with you. And we lined up for an hour and a half. It was almost closing time by the time we get on the, oh, he got on the ride. So my question is, who are you in line for? I wasn't in line for myself. In that moment, I could tell you that. I was in line for my son. You might be in line for your son or daughter. You might be in line for your marriage. You might be in line for your healing or somebody else's healing or your mother. You might be in line for somebody else. But God is actually asking you this morning, who are you in line for? Jairus in the crowd, which was probably a few hundred, if not a few thousand people. Jairus had lined up. Now, Jairus is a ruler in the synagogue in Capernaum. He's a well-known religious leader. He is lining up to see Jesus. He's not skipping the line. He's lining up and he's waiting his turn, knowing full well that his only daughter is dying at home. We've got to add emotion to these scriptures sometimes. We've got to add the human nature to these scriptures. If my son or my daughter was dying at home, I'll be like, I want to be there. I want to be there. But he knows that there's only one person. There is only one person working the earth at that time that has the answers to Jesus, that has the answers to his daughter, and that was Jesus. So he lines up patiently waiting with hope and anticipation that Jesus can heal my daughter. All I need to do is speak to Jesus. All I need to do is get in front of Jesus. And when he got in front of Jesus, what did he do? He fell at the feet of our Savior. He fell at the feet of Jesus. And he said, that's all I need. He gets, in verse 41, says, Jairus came and fell at the feet and pleaded with Jesus. Pleaded. Have you ever had that desperation in your heart where you know there's nothing else, there's no other doctor, there's no other medicine, there's no other hope but apart from Jesus, where you come and you plead your case before the Lord? This is Jairus. A man that was dignified has become undignified because in front of everyone, he is fallen at the feet of Jesus because he knows only Jesus can do, because he's already heard it. He's already seen it. Jairus is a leader. He's witnessed it. He's heard the testimonies. He's seen him do it before. Why can't he do it again? And that's what we're doing right here. He's finally, Jairus, you know, Jesus says, yes, let's go. Let's go. What an amazing Savior. Honestly, let's go. He's walking. The crowd are pushing against him. Then he stops and he says, who's touched me? And in that moment, a woman who'd been bleeding for 12 years touches the hem of the garment and is instantly healed. There's joy. There's a miracle that has occurred. There's people witnessing this amazing miracle. She's an outcast, okay? She's an outcast in that time. There's a miracle that has occurred. And in the same moment, a messenger, a family member, a friend has come to Jairus and said, your daughter is now dead. Jesus has done a miracle over here. And in that same moment, they're not too far apart. Grief has hit Jairus. It is not that he goes, okay, I'm walking away. That is not how this grief works. Grief is, he would have collapsed. He would have been crying, moaning, you know, distraught, his only daughter, his hope was in Jesus, and suddenly we're on the way, another miracle occurs, it's all stopped, and then she died. How would you feel in that moment? The grief would be so instant, it's unimaginable. You can't imagine it unless you've walked this path, to lose a daughter, to lose a spouse, to lose a mother, to lose a father. Grief is unimaginable. What would you feel? How would you feel as a mother? How would I feel knowing that I wasn't there? I was trying to get the healer. I was trying to get him. I knew that he would be. Would you feel frustrated? Would you feel regret? Emotions are running high. Jairus had Jesus coming to his house. The mission and the focus was Jesus. He was on the way to his house when another miracle occurred. Was that miracle meant to be my miracle? Honestly, human emotions, people, we are not perfect. Like, we sit here and go, oh, we're all perfect. Was that my miracle? Was that my daughter's miracle? You know? Then Jesus spoke. Number two, what is Jesus saying to you today? Jesus heard the messenger say to Jairus. So there's a miracle. It's all happening. But Jesus had heard what the messenger had said. Jesus went up to Jairus and said, two things you need to do right now. Do not be afraid and have faith. Do not be afraid and have faith. Church, that is what Jesus is saying to us today. Do not be afraid and have faith. Do not be afraid and have faith. What is the miracle you were asking for today? What is in the heart that you haven't actually prayed yet? God knows the heart of hearts. Jesus is saying, do not be afraid, but have faith this morning. Have faith that I will meet you. Have faith that I see the breakthrough coming. Have faith that I know the mountains will be moved. That's all you have to do in this moment. That's all Jairus had to do in that moment. When you're in so much grief in that moment, and Jesus comes up to say, do not be afraid and have faith. Peace. Only God's peace in that moment. Only Jesus' words and his peace in that moment sustain Jairus. Both of these elements are towards his miracle that is about to happen, Jairus' miracle. You actually can't have one without the other. That's what Jesus is saying. You can't have one right now, Jairus. You can't have faith but be so afraid that it's not going to happen. He's saying you cannot be afraid. You do not have fear because faith and fear can't work together. So he's saying you have to choose which right now. You have to make a decision, Jairus. Are you going to walk in faith and see the miracle? Or are you going to walk in fear and let your daughter die? Pretty much what Jesus is saying to him right there. Peace comes when Jesus speaks. Power comes when Jesus speaks. Your miracle occurs when Jesus speaks. And as I said, fear is the opposite of faith. And God is wanting and needing his church to rise up in faith, to build in faith, to be brave in faith, to be resilient in faith. You know, not to be pushed back, but to push forward. There's a move occurring and there's a spirit that's rising up and God is shaking his church and his bride and saying, wake up, church. Wake up, men and women, children alike. He's going to say, I need my church to rise. I need my bride to rise. I need my men and women to say, I have the faith of the mustard seed. Is that all you need? But I need you to believe the word is true and you will see the activation of the word, because God is not dead. He is alive forevermore. And we worship and honor a powerful God. Woo! Oh, yeah. Whew. I'm getting it myself. When Jesus arrived at the house was filled with people weeping and wailing. Have you ever been in a grief moment where there's been the wailing? We've seen the weeping, but the wailing is, it's a yell. My nana, she was wailing once and I was only a young person, and it was like the whole of it was a Catholic church was just in, like, she could hear it coming in. You could hear her, the wailing coming into the church, you know. So the wailing of the men and women, probably the women at the time, more than women, we wail. The grief is so unimaginable. Jesus only allowed six people into the room, Peter, John, James, to parents, mum and dad, and Jesus himself. Jesus said to the people, she is not dead, she's only sleeping. And they laughed at him. They mocked him. What is Jesus saying to you that you're actually not believing or you're actually laughing back at? Because sometimes God challenges us in those moments of miracles. Sometimes Jesus says, you need to think bigger. You need to think stronger. You need to, because I am the God that can. Jesus went into the room and in verse 54, Jesus took the daughter, the girl by the hand and in a loud voice it says, he's not going in there. Okay, we're going to raise you back from the dead. In a quiet voice. The scripture says in a loud voice, I would say he yelled. I'm a bit loud. I'm loud. George is not. He's a bit calmer. I'm very loud. So you're going to get me. We're going to get the yell. He takes the daughter by the hand and says, my child, yelled, my child, get up. With authority, with tenacious spirit, with knowing who his God the Father is. There are gifts in your life that Jesus is calling out to you right now. There is hope in your life where you felt like there was no hope. And Jesus is calling out to you this morning. He wants to reinstall today faith. He wants to reinstall hope. He wants to reinstall joy. There's a reinstallment going on. And God is calling out to you as individuals. My child, rise up. My child, rise up. My child, rise up. Jesus is saying, rise up, your miracle is here. So who are you in line for? Whew. Who are you in line for? Prayer and fasting this week, who are you in line for? Who are you in line for? Who are we going to pray and intercede for? Who are you going to pray and put a covering over this place? Because God wants to do something. It is okay to be tenacious with the things of God. It's okay to be tenacious for the miracles of God. It's okay to be tenacious when you know there's a sickness and you know what God is saying. It's okay to be tenacious and pray with boldness into the things of God. Jairus left his dying daughter to seek out Jesus. He lined up, waited his turn, having faith and maybe a little bit of doubt. I don't know, this is all I've got left. Is Jesus. But when Jesus speaks, you listen, you obey, and you act upon it. Number three, faith rise up in me. All you need today is the faith of a mustard seed to believe in your miracle. Back to Jude on the roller coaster. He knew I was never going to step into the roller coaster. We lined up together for an hour and a half. We made friends. We were witnessing. It was funny. We met some Christians along the way. It was a long line. It was a hot line. Sam had the other two girls and they were doing their own things in movie world. They had to wait too. But how would I feel if someone in that moment cut the line? I don't know if I would be so gracious. We think we would be. Oh, it's okay. It's okay. I don't know if it's okay. I've been waiting an hour and a half for my son to get on this ride. It's closing. Will we make it? Will we make it? You know, I don't know. Would I be angry? Definitely be a bit upset. And then, you know, the godliness has to come back in. The emotion of the humanness comes out. And then we go, okay, maybe there's a reason. I don't know. But Jude was brave and he did go on the roller coaster. And it was one of those things that in his mind he had to first overcome. I think sometimes in our mind we have to overcome it. You're in faith. You're in the line. You're in the line. But there's still doubt. There's still a battle going on in your mind. There's still a battle. And sometimes God is just saying, calm the mind. Bring peace to the mind. Use the scripture as a weapon. Use my worship as a weapon. And in that moment, I was saying, Jude, there was a lot of conversations happening. You can do this. You can do this. You can do that. Just shut your eyes and pray. You can do this. I'll just be taking photos, I said. You know, you can do this. Anyway, I think we do have a photo. Do we have a photo? I don't know. There it is. There it is. He did it. It was like, I'm not gonna. It was the second drop. It wasn't the first drop. I think it's the second drop. You know, the guy next to him, some strangers from Geelong, he looks like he's Happy Larry, and the people got their hands up. He was only 11 at the time, so he was so brave. My kids are very brave. Bella actually likes probably water slides better than the roller coasters. Jude's at the back. He's seeing his picture now on the screen. Charlotte's getting to a point. She's only just 8. She was 7 at the time where we actually took her on the log ride at Movie World. And, you know, she's a bit like me and, you know, she was very fearful. But we got there and she's like, pray for me, Mom! And we're like in the log. Pray! And I'm like, dear Jesus, I just pray she's okay. And we're going down this log. I'm not putting that photo up, okay? Because I looked terrible. I was like terrible. The kids, but she's funny, you know. So the kids are at that point. But who are you in line for? It is worth it. God doesn't want us just to look at our situations or our circumstances. And it's so easy. It is so easy. It is so hard not to look at the circumstances, not to look at what is physically here. It is so easy to do that. It is so hard to then look up and see God in the midst of a circumstances that might not be so hopeful. There might be already grief occurring. But in the midst of those circumstances, God will bring peace. He will restore. He will heal and he will set you free. Never lose hope on God. Never lose hope on Jesus. He has his promises and listen to his voice. I'm going to ask the musicians to come up. I know that I'm not preaching too long today. I'm still going, so it hasn't finished yet, so don't worry. But what are you in line for? It seems like the line might look long for you. It seems like the years have been hard for you. It seems like I can't see a hope right now. I can't see the plan that God's got for me right now. Maybe there's a bit of cloudiness. Maybe there's a crowd that are moving around you. Maybe there's somebody else that's got your miracle. They said, that was my miracle. I've been praying for that. And suddenly somebody else gets a miracle. Don't look left. Don't look right. Keep your eyes fixed on him. Keep your eyes fixed on his eyes. Look to Jesus. Keep praying. Keep seeking. Keep believing. Keep faith. Do not be afraid. Your miracle, your breakthrough, your healing is right here. God is no respecter of persons. And sometimes we limit to our God to one miracle at a time. We do. Oh, okay, God, you can only do half a miracle. We can do that miracle because I have faith to believe in that miracle. But he's more than that. He can do two miracles at the time. The woman that, you know, had the blood for 12 years and the daughter, that 12 years old again, that she died, two miracles. Don't limit God to one miracle in your life. Don't limit God to just seeing one. And if you've already had your miracle, claim the miracle, pray the miracle and speak into the miracle as well. It's not about the size of the miracle. It's just about don't be afraid and have faith. I remember when I was in my 20s, I had really bad pain. I think I speak to Mum a little bit bad, but I used to have really bad pain. It used to go across my back of my hip, or my back, down to my leg, and my left leg. And I used to be shooting pain. And there's like doctors, you go to the doctors, it's not a sciatica. I'm like, well, I can't sit for more than 30 minutes without pain. So if I was sitting here, I'd have pain within 30 minutes. If I'm on an airplane, pain within 30 minutes. Car rides, everywhere. It lasted a couple of years. And then the doctors didn't really know what was going on either. So I just thought, this is it. How many times do we say that? This is it. This is my life. I've got to have pain for the rest of my life. No. I went to a prophetic conference with my dad and my friend at the time. It was in the city. It was in a conference center in the city. And there was a couple of hundred thousand people there. I was on one side. Someone was on the other side. And what they did, some prophetic activation. So that is like teaching about what is prophetic and then listening to God and then speaking it out, right? And they said, we're going to have this session where people that have never prophesied before are going to prophesy. You've never spoken a prophetic word out. You're going to speak it out. So we're just waiting. And this lady on the total other end of the auditorium, like way, way away, it's dark, they can't see anybody. It was like tiered, it was sort of tiered approach. She says, I just had a vision of this girl with red curly hair and pain shooting down her left side. The guy in front of me turns around and says, that's you. Like, and I'm like, I think so too. Yes. Yes, it is. Before the service started, though, I was standing just right in the doorway, just waiting, because I used to wait for the last moment to sit because of the pain. So I was just standing in the doorway, and I didn't pray it outside of my heart, my mouth. I prayed it in my heart, and I just had this conversation with God. God, I know you can heal. God, it'd be nice to be healed. But I also know there's people dying of cancer. We rate our miracles. God doesn't rate his miracles, people. We rate it, but God does not rate it. So I was like, it's okay that you don't heal me, but, you know, heal the other people. It wasn't even a prayer. It was more just a talking to God conversation. And he's like, watch what I will do, Beck. We stood, so the prophetic word is said. Then at the end, all these prophetic words has been spoken. All we did was stand. And all we did was did a corporate prayer. No one even laid hands on me. And in that moment, I felt my hips move, shift. I felt my healing come, and my hips actually moved just slightly, probably back into place. And I knew I was healed, but I felt like I was about 80% healed. I know that sounds strange. All right, I wasn't completely healed. The pain was still there, but I felt a physical change occur in my body. So I knew I was, and I went away from that claiming my healing. Every time I felt the pain, I said, no, I know I'm healed in the name of Jesus. You claim your healing. You claim it out of your mouth. God says, use the scripture, use the healing. And I did, over the next weeks and months, complete healing. But even still to this day, sometimes the enemy will come back and say, oh, let's try again. Let's try that pain again. And I say, no, 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 in the name of Jesus, I am healed. And you need to start saying, no, 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 in the name of Jesus, I am healed. Out of the mouth, the faith will come. Woo. God cares for you. God sees you. God knows you. He hears you. And he loves you. Someone needed to hear that today. He hears you. I feel like sometimes we pray and you say, God's not hearing me. He's actually not hearing. I can't see. God hears you. We are no respecter of timing. He's just saying, just have faith and don't be afraid. So who is your focus? Is your focus Jesus? Looking to Jesus, coming to Jesus. Who are you in line for today? Knowing the only answer is Jesus. Salvation, the only answer is Jesus. Whew. Let your faith rise up today and believe that God is a miracle working God. God will move in your life. God will set you free. God is not just the miracle working God in the Bible, but he's the miracle working God of today. And I think we need to shake off that doubt, and we need to rise up in faith, and we need to say, I am who I am because you say I am, and I'm going to rise up in faith because the Bible says so. You say so, and I believe it. Realignment is occurring in the body. As I felt my hip move, I feel like God right now is realigning his church. There's a realignment going on, and he's realigning the spine, the hips, the arms to focus on God. And he's saying, it's been out a little bit. It's been out a little bit. Like, my hip was out a little bit, but in being out a little bit was causing so much pain. So much pain. It was only a small thing. And God, I see it right now. I can see it. I see the body of Christ, like the skeleton, like just being shifted slightly like this. Realignment, 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 realignment. And that's what's happening in our faith right now. God is saying, I'm right now putting things and pieces back together. You thought it was over, and I'm saying it's not over. You thought it was done, and I'm saying it's not done. You thought it was dead, and I'm saying it's not dead. Gifts, talents, and hope. Stand. Today, the altar will be open as we sing the song. And if you feel that you are carrying something, if you feel that you need a realignment, if you feel you just want to meet Jesus, if you feel that you're standing in the line for someone, just come up the front. It's just going to be open for you to meet with Jesus, to let your faith rise up, to meet and say, God, I'm here. And here is my burden, and here's my prayer, and here's my faith, and here's my gifts, and here's my talents. God is saying He doesn't want a church to be silent anymore. He wants a church to rise. He wants a church to be bold. He wants a church that's energetic. He wants a church that's alive. The church is us. It's not just the person speaking or the worship leaders, and we have wonderful worship leaders. It is you. It's you in your marketplace. It's you with your family. Wherever you go, if you're at university or study, it is you.
Thank you for joining us. We hope that you enjoyed today's podcast. And we realize that not everyone has had the opportunity to respond to the good news of the gospel. And for this reason, in all of our services and platforms, we want to extend to you the opportunity to follow Jesus. The Bible teaches us that we have been created for a relationship with God. However, sin, which is essentially disobedience, independence, and disbelief, or us simply missing the mark, entered the world and separated us from God. Romans chapter 6, verse 23 says that the wages of sin is death. And a debt was owed, and the Bible tells us that He, Jesus, demonstrated His love for us, that while we were still sinners, He died for us. Jesus paid the penalty for our sin. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have eternal life." God so loved the world that He gave us Jesus, that whoever believes in Him will be saved. All that is required of anyone is that they believe in Jesus, the Son of God, who came, lived, died, and rose again so that we could be forgiven, made right, and given the right to become children of God and to have life forevermore with Him. Today, you can begin a relationship with Jesus. To believe in Him is to simply to respond with faith in our hearts and confess with our mouths that He is Lord. And we do that through a simple prayer. Follow along with me. Dear Jesus, I believe that You are the Son of God. I thank You that You love me and came to forgive me of my sin. I repent from my old way of life and I turn to follow You. I receive the free gift of eternal life and I ask that You fill me with the Holy Spirit so that I can live a life of following after You. I thank You that I am born again as a child of God and that I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. Amen. If you prayed this prayer for the first time, we would love to connect with you and connect you to your next step and the local church in your area. You can contact us on our website at newmar.church. Thanks for listening.